Could you just say what your name is and what you do?
Swati. Hi, I'm Swati, and I work in KPMG as a consultant for the government here in India.
Cool. And yeah. What city are we in?
What city?
Yeah.
So currently I'm working in Mumbai, and I'm basically from Rajasthan, Jodhpur.
Oh, cool.
So that is where I had been born and brought up. Yeah. But since my father is in railways, so he has a job which is like really transferable. So I've been to places in and around India.
Is Mumbai louder than most of the other places you've been?
Yes and no. I have been to a more louder city, which is Lucknow. Mm-hmm. It's in Uttar Pradesh, and there I think everybody honks. And there are no traffic rules. People will drive anyway. But yeah, Mumbai is like the most crowded, most competitive city to live in.
Do
in
you,
every sense.
Because, do you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you wish that like you could be in a quieter area?
Yes, or? But then it's like... If you want to do something in your career, then from that point of view, the city is great. I mean, from job and all those things. But yes, I would definitely not want to spend my whole life here. Who is he you reminding?
Me? Are you?
Yeah.
When we were traveling, Tom. There was this one guy called Tom, and he was...
Tommen.
His name was Tom.
Wait, weren't you guys traveling for one day together?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like...
It was the longest day.
Yo, you have like 10 people that you knew.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just, like, synchronicity. Everyone just meets everyone. Was it 1 or 2 days? 1 or 2 days?
Like, 2 days, 2 days.
2 days.
But you lied to us.
No, I'm not. It was one day where everything just happened.
Yeah, we like,
day.
So what?
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, so you were saying...
Did you like both?
But there was just one guy, he was Tom, and he was just the most... I like Tom. Tom was nice, but he was just annoying.
He was very annoying.
You know when you're with people, right, it's about the group. And so Tom decides, okay, for breakfast. Okay, fine. I'm going to want the breakfast, but I'll sit with you.
Anyway, I don't want the breakfast, so...
For 1 hour, do you know what he did? He just stared at his skin omelette like this.
I didn't want this.
So... in cricket there are two sides with 11 player each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's of three different formats. Test, it's a long format of the game where it is played over 5 days.
Okay. Yeah,
then one day international, like it said, one day, it's a one day game.
Yeah.
It's around 8 hour duration. Okay, in a day. Then there is the smaller format, T20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 20 over. I'll go to what is over.
So it takes a few hours.
So it takes around 3 hours. Okay.
So if you don't play professionally, you probably play...
No. All these are basically... Yeah, matlab ki, if you are not playing for your country, then there are options to play in T20.
Yeah.
The different kind of formats. Okay.
8 hours of a sport is a long time.
Yeah. So I would say if you want to watch a match, go to a T20. That's fun. It's small.
Yeah.
It's small format. It's fun format. Okay. So these are the different formats. But now what is being done is there are two sides with 11 player each.
Mm-hmm.
Now in test match, I'll go with from T20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in a T20 format, both sides have 20 overs to play. Okay. In an over, there are 6 times a bowler has to bowl a ball. So,
yeah.
Total balls that are being done is 20 into 6. That is 120.
Yeah.
Okay, 120 balls. Now, the batting team can score as many runs as they want to. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are different types of run than you can make in cricket. Simple. Is one... you can hit a boundary, or you can hit a boundary. In boundary, there, let's say this is the cricket field.
Yeah, if you hit it out.
If you hit it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit it directly.
It can't bounce.
It can go either by bouncing as well as directly.
Okay.
If it's going directly, then you get 6 runs.
Okay. So I know that. Yeah.
Okay. If it goes after bouncing, you get 4 runs.
Still good.
Okay. It's good as yeah. well. Okay. And the third way to score a run is you can run between the wickets.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are not able to score boundary, you can just place it somewhere and just run.
Like
so there is a pitch on which the match is played.
Yeah.
Okay, there
I've
is a pitch.
That.
Okay. So bowler comes, balls, and if you hit it somewhere, then you can run between the pitch.
Okay.
One completed run to one end of this to the other end is one run. Okay. Now both players, so there are two batsmen that are playing at any moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So both players have to cross the field and reach their respective destination before the if the bowling team removes a wicket.
So they have to throw it to the
They have to throw it and hit the wicket
mm-hmm.
and remove the bails. So in cricket there is a wicket.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've like watched it
three,
even
yeah,
though I didn't
three
understand
Three stumps
it.
With the two bails on it.
Yeah.
So to be out, the bail should minimum go off. Okay. Bail should be in the air. Completely lost.
And so that has to happen before you get into back, like
yeah. If before you can, if they remove this, then you are out.
Okay.
Now there are 11 players in one team, so they have 10 wickets. Okay. So batting team has 10 wickets, and these all 11 players can come and bat. So 1 and 2 will come in the initially. If one gets out, the other comes. Till that time, they can replace them 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
If 10 wickets are out, you are out of the matlab ki.
And if 2 wickets go out on one turn?
No, that can't happen.
No, just one.
Just one wicket can go in one turn.
Okay.
Okay. So now batsmen can get out in different ways as well.
Okay.
One is, let's say a bowler is bowling and hit the wickets directly, lucky the ball hits the wickets.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you are out. Okay.
Okay.
The other way is if you hit a shot and somebody catches it.
In the air. Okay.
Before bouncing, if somebody catches it, then you are out.
Okay.
The third way to out is run out, which we discussed.
Yeah.
If you are running and you have not made your pitch, made the ground before they hit the bails, wicket. Then you are out.
Okay.
Fourth is stumping. Stumping is similar to run out. Let's say when a bowler is bowling and you come out of your... There's a box. So there is a wicket. So let's say here is a wicket. This is a little box in which a batsman is safe while playing. But if he comes out to hit on a ball, but the wicket keeper is there, like in baseball, there is a person sitting behind. Catcher is there, always there. So if he catches the ball and hits the stumps when you are out, then you are out as well. If you are out, that's called stumping. It's similar to run out, but it's called stumping.
Okay.
So these are the different ways in which you can get out mostly. Okay. And the other most one more important way is leg before wicket. Okay. What happens is, let's say a bowler is bowling and while trying to hit a shot, my bat didn't make any contact with the ball. Ball hits my pads directly on the legs.
Yeah.
Okay. And if umpire judges that this ball was going to hit the stumps,
Then you're out. So if you're really in front.
In front of the wicket, because ball was going to hit the wicket, you were not able to make the contact. So you are out.
Okay.
So these are the different ways you can get out. These are the different ways you make run. So a bowler every team has in 11 players around 4 to 5 bowlers, 5 bowlers generally.
Mm-hmm.
Good 5 bowlers who can bowl different number of overs. Now in T20 format there are 20 overs. In each over there are 6 balls. Okay. So a bowler will come, ball 6 balls. In this either he can take a wicket.
Yeah.
He can bowl dot balls where there are no runs being made. He can bowl dot balls where are there no runs being made. If batsman just is not able to make any run, then those are dot balls. Or there is some run being made, or he can take a wicket in those 6 balls. So that's how an over is there. This is a simple game.
So
one team will bat first.
Yeah.
Okay. They will bat for 20 overs in T20. They will bat for 20 overs. They can make their goal is to make as much total as possible, as many number of runs as possible. Their goal is to make that much.
Okay.
And now the chasing side has a target. Let's say in 20 overs, a particular team has scored 160 runs.
Okay.
Now the chasing side has to score 161 run within the 20 overs, next 20 over to win the match.
So I think maybe you told me that that there's a lot of ties.
No, in test matches.
In T20, there will always be a result. Let's say if two teams are tied.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the 20 over, two teams are tied.
Which is
then they will play a super over, in which the both team will get one over, six balls to bat.
Yeah.
Whoever scores more run wins.
Actually, it's crazy when it happens. But it happens very rare.
Very rarely it happens, but tie probability of tying is not that
much. Especially when you have so many runs in the game.
Yeah.
It's like you have to get to the same exact number.
Sorry, I was trying to get the firework. No flash.
It's so much safer than the window.
Yeah.
So her mother was like, no, you shouldn't do it upstairs, there's a rule and all that. Living with parents at 22.
Yeah. There's a call. The phone.
The phone is. Anyway, that's your number.
Take your time. Don't worry too much. You made a long trip to get here, so.
Yeah, I'm out in Talatla. For the recording, could you just say your name and what you do?
What I do? My name is Michel Rosmolen. I'm from the Netherlands, originally living in Thailand for 10 years. I had companies in the Netherlands also about noise control, engineering, and also turnkey projects. So just have to take a problem and then solve it, basically. This company, Geo Noise Thailand, is about 10 years in Thailand. We have another office in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, another office in Jakarta in Indonesia, and one more in Hong Kong. Apart from that, I'm also involved in some marketing and sales activities in Asia for two companies. One is Norsonic from Norway. So I take care for the whole Asian region. So I find resellers for them and promote them or keep them awake to sell more. And also for another company from Germany, from Backnang, Soundplan, which is software to predict the noise.
Mm.
So everything is related to noise.
So it's kind of a modeling program?
Yeah, it's especially for environmental noise.
Normally, when you do city planning, what they don't do here, you have multiple options to direct the road. So you make calculations first and multiple situations, and you look like how the noise will impact to houses, existing houses, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you have some sort of like heat map type thing.
For noise.
For noise.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I was looking a little bit at the sound plan website.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So GeoNoise specifically, it takes contracts from just private companies like developers, or do you also work with the government or particular
all levels? It's still a niche market here in Thailand.
Yeah.
The first 5 years I had zero customers, so I was working alone. Now we have 10 people, so there's getting some something is happening. But it's really a niche market. There are many companies in Thailand who can measure noise, but after that the knowledge stops, and we're basically the only engineering company in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what to do with the data and consult people and things like that.
Yeah. So you clearly have the ability to measure noise. What do you think has changed in those 5 years of, like, why do you think you have more customers?
Awareness. Yeah, the country gets more developed, so the rich people start to complain. It's getting more dense and more dense, and more cars and more people. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think awareness. Yeah.
And I mean, I look at these advertisement campaigns for the high rises, and so many of them, either directly or indirectly, they're about noise or getting away from the bustle of the city.
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yeah.
And so, is it really just on the human scale of people complaining, or is it a matter of like health concerns and like the
not
studies?
Yet. The health concern is from Europe, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm doing a lot of seminars about creating awareness for noise.
Mm-hmm.
Last month I went to Bangladesh, of all places, but they care.
Mm-hmm.
Thailand, they don't really care. In Europe, they did calculations like, okay, how much does it cost if people get stressed by noise or sick by noise, etc., etc., etc. And it's far more cheaper to invest in noise mitigation measures than to let people be unhappy and get sick, etc., etc. Here, labor is very cheap, so that's not a valid argument for the Thai people.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just the people with a lot of money who went abroad and see it can be different and can be quiet, and they start complaining or they want to have better noise insulation because they know it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the jobs we do here is troubleshooting.
Mm-hmm.
So they build a hotel already, or they build a very expensive penthouse somewhere already, and then the buyers, because it's like really upscale for here, it's like 5 million euro or something, which is very, very, a lot of money even back in Europe.
Yeah.
And then they complain about the noise, and then we have to go measure and see if we can solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. So you don't tend to get, they're sort of like fixing the problem after the fact.
Yeah, most, 90% is after.
Yeah, in talking to other acoustic engineers, I've noticed they often complain like, the architects never call us before the project, and that would be, of course, ideal.
I did consulting, of course, in the 80s and 90s in the Netherlands, and then no matter what you do, if you open a bar, if you open even a supermarket or an industry, you have to make an acoustical survey first,
mm-hmm.
before you start building. And if you cannot prove that you're not gonna make more noise than there's already, you don't get a license.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's just built, and then after they see if there's any problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you live in Hanoi.
I live in Hanoi. Yeah, but
do you sometimes get tired of the noise?
I love Hanoi very much, but I run away from Hanoi now. I really love Hanoi, but I run away from Hanoi. It's one of the reasons I run away from Hanoi is so much traffic.
So much traffic.
So actually, I only want to visit Hanoi at
top.
You know,
night time.
Yeah, that's good time,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I see Hanoi. But come to city, all the, it's a tight. People work and It's the visual, I like it. I see the because the above visual, the what we watching and see the how the life people making really a lot of energy. I like it, but of course with
in Vietnam is
sometimes that we get really stuck in city with nothing to do. I really don't want to see that. I don't want to be in that way.
Like
so I run away, living outside Hanoi now. I just want to be
so
with nature.
Let me give you a bit more details. For example,
please.
In Bangkok and that four cities, we used to have this streetscape and this street hawkers. And for somehow, we just questioning about maybe hygienics or maybe cleanliness and maybe untidy type of things. Or maybe it's, that got to do with right of the people who is the passerby who use the street in for other type of activity as well. So by questioning that, we get rid of the street hawkers instead of initiate a better management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you go throughout these four or five cities, now today the scenery is completely changed. I just been back from Yangon the other days, and all the street hawkers along the main street has been gone. So Yangon for me it's just completely different city. It's looking very typical to any other city. On the opposite, Singapore's got into this kind of moving the street hawker and put them into a food court.
Mm-hmm.
And the success with that, and then they have this very beautiful streetscape whatsoever, but then they found that life missing in that city. Now they try to initiate this street hawker back into the system. So my question is that why we get rid of this kind of thing that is our nature and go to the Singaporean model, which the Singaporean model thought that is not good anymore. So in a sense, it's kind of ironic, but maybe it's, I don't know. I hope that there's something that we can keep. Yeah. So that's my sort of questioning and then direction into this research, how to unlock the mechanic.
Like right now, where we're standing, we can faintly hear some bird noises, but the chunk of noise that we can hear is just vehicle noise, vehicular noise, and honking. Honking has to be the most definite, the most definite noise that you can hear in the city. Like constant honking, yeah, and vehicular noise, and noises of people just randomly chirping like birds.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you find in the city? It's like...
Oh, okay, tell me about stuff that comes over like loudspeakers. Like where are you hearing music and where are you hearing voices over loudspeakers?
Yeah. Like, do you want to know where that takes place or where you might be able to find that sort of an environment?
Both, and also what would be playing over them.
Okay. Yeah, generally you get to hear loudspeakers at work when you have a political rally of such or a political meetup. Right, I mean, this is actually the spot where major political meetups happen. In and around this area, in the Maidan region, okay. Like major political parties will hold meetups and rallies and all that. So you can hear people speaking, speaking about, the stuff that they have to get the chanting thing going and to rile up the comrades and workers and all that. So that takes place here. So you might if you're lucky and you are in and around this area, you might just get to listen to constant political chanting and that sort of stuff. And during the festivities, you can listen to music, Bollywood or Bengali film music or popular music being, blaring, at loud volume, And that takes place all over the city.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the sound of the festive season here.
Yeah, so what you have during Durga Puja, which is the biggest festival that happens in Kolkata or in West Bengal, what you get to hear is you just see people everywhere, just lakhs and lakhs of people, just concentrated densely packed. And you can like actually feel like, you know, the energy of a mass, like when you, like if you witness that, you can actually feel it because everything's just so densely packed, concentrated in a particular area, and it's like just people are going apes, like, you know, they're all like talking at the top of their voices, and you get to hear the sound of the dhak, which is like the percussive instrument that that they play during the rituals. Okay, so you get to hear that. Like, dhak is a very important, like, the sound of dhak is very important. Like, it's just a dholak, like, you know, how can I explain it? It's like a steel, not exactly a steel drum, but, you know, like, leather skin drum with two heads, which you, like, just played with sticks.
And they're flexible sticks,
yeah,
right?
flexible sticks, or, like, just the sticks. I mean, yeah, the sticks. So you get to hear that, like, I mean, there are, like, a group of people who are playing like dhaks at different timbre settings and pitch settings in order to create, you know, an orchestral feeling of sort. So there will be the dhak, there will be the kashor. The kashor is like a small metallic drum thing, like, you know, it's more akin to a cowbell of sorts, but, you know, it's a bit more resonant than a cowbell. So you get to hear that. Like, if you're inside the pandals, which is like the structure where the idol is put, like where the idol is housed, that's a pandal. So, yeah, so you get to hear that sound. And then you get to hear the loudspeakers playing music so loud that if you're like you're just standing like, you know, just like, what is 1 feet apart. I can't, like, if you're in a pandal and if you're trying to talk to me, you can't, like, I can't hear you talking because of the loudspeakers. It's like loud. Too loud. So that's the whole ambience that, like, that is created during the pujas. It's like hordes and hordes of people, loudspeakers, dhaks. It's chaos. It's, yeah, just, it's like an assault to your senses on all the levels, like all levels, like, you know, like auditory, like, you know, visually, everything.
And what about the crackers?
Oh yeah, that, yeah, okay, that happens during the Diwalis. And well, that's like make noise day for like the whole of India. Like, you just make noise. That's it. I mean, if you're doing it, you know, with a predisposed notion of you must, like, you know, you must, like, you know, do crack, like, you must buy firecrackers and set them off because of religious purposes, or just you just want to have some fun. But it's not fun because it's too much. It's a bit too much. I mean, because they don't do that on a very particular day. I mean, you are supposed to do that on the day of Diwali, but people are like, you know, people are people, right? They are masochists and sadists. I mean, that's the thing about Indians. They are really freaky, right? They will like keep on doing that thing for like, you know, 2-3 days, even after Diwali, post Diwali, everything is over, but still they will like, ah, boom. Like, you are trying to do your own work. Diwali is over, festivities are over, but still there will be this whole bunch of people who are just like setting firecrackers and like being all like chirpy about it. So that happens. People are really sadists here. So yeah, you can't be like, hey, people really like silence and like, you know, like people are really in for the whole serenity vibe, but no, no, that's not the case. If you find yourself in a city, yeah, that's not the case.
You're not here to find serenity, or no. You're not going to.
No, you're not going to. Even if you try to, you'll be like, you know, it will be an exercise in futility. That's what it's going to be. If you're trying to find calmness and serenity in a city like this.
Okay.
How do you start making experimental music?
Yeah, kind of at that time, like, we just trying to jam out some new idea and then try to make some new music.
In band. Your metal band?
Not really a metal band. It was like a punk rock band like that time.
Okay.
And then kind of I started buying our machine and I saw that group happen. But at that time I cannot join because I had to, still had to go and work for some office job and then things like this. But after 3 months I quit the job and then I joined them and then practiced with them, kind of like it made me a new kind of like new way of doing music, because it's like with them, like, nothing is prepared. We just try to learn the way we play with each other and then next time see how it go.
Yeah.
But then kind of like for me, when I was stick with that group, I feel like, oh, is it maybe it's real me?
Yeah, yeah.
in some way, you know what I mean? Like, I can play whatever I want, I can explore things, I can do something new or something that even me, I have never heard of. So,
yeah.
Kind of, I also try to do techno on the other side as well. So, that kind of like material, I can use it for techno music also.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a dual benefit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's the group called?
This group.
Yeah.
Dom Dom.
Dom Dom.
You know the fly fly.
Fly fly. No.
Yeah.
I
like
don't.
Each minute, fly fly. You know the bird that kind of can shining in the dark.
Oh yeah, like I call it firefly.
Oh yeah, firefly. Yeah, yeah. So then yeah, kind of. It actually the whole experimental music scene here like that.
Yeah.
It's bling bling. You know, just bling bling. Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Is it always here at Heritage Space or is somewhere else?
Like, we used to go a few other places before.
Where?
Like, you know, in some place that in Kama, ATK, but now it's not happen anymore. Yeah. Or like, you know, in Hana Rock City.
What is it?
Hana Rock City, a venue.
Yeah.
But now, kind of, more likely we do it here, because it's like, the good thing up here is like a little bit far.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, yeah. For me, it's far is good because it's like the people who go for it, they really go for it.
Yeah.
Not any random people who just want to see what happened, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like kind yeah. of, it kind of a little bit more serious and more kind of like ultimate when we try and doing it. So.
Beginning, real quickly.
Okay, about Ganesh Chaturthi.
Yeah, please. Or Navratri.
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 Okay, so Navratri, it's like a goddess festival over here in India. And as Navratri means, Nav means nine, Ratri means night. So it lasts for 9 nights altogether. And it's a festival of 9 forms of goddesses of Durga. There are 9 forms, 9 incarnations of Durga.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what you have in the evening, the whole streets are flooded with people over there, and you got stages on the road, and they're playing music, and people do dandiya over there. So the girls, the guys, the older people, the younger ones, everyone goes with the 2 sticks in their hand. Might have seen. And the music keeps on playing, you like keep on clicking the sticks, and you dance it. No, and you keep on dancing. It's a form of dance, dandiya. Mm.
So is there choreography? Choreography?
Yeah, it's like, it's actually not a typical, you can do it in a simple manner also, like
mm-hmm.
a simple way, so people do it, they know it by themselves, or they go for some choreography classes if they want to perform well. They even got dandiya competitions, and then they have stalls over there, like street food stalls, and people keep on fasting, like some women or some men who are devotee of Durga, they fast for 9 complete days fasting. So some people, they do it while eating just fruits all over the day. Some people, they do it even by just drinking water for 9 days and no food, food. And it's actually a very critical thing, but...
Yeah, that sounds really intense.
Yeah,
that's
but
like really
it's because
yourself.
Of the faith. So they just drink water for 9 days and no food, nothing. So some people even keep... They are rare, but even here you'll find like many people doing it.
Yeah.
So this is also a good festival, Navratri, and people, they are very much devoted towards it.
And when does that happen?
Navratri is actually like Hindi calendar. It's not like an English calendar.
Oh, so it
Hindi calendar,
each year?
It keeps on changing every year.
Yeah.
Because it's because of the Hindi dates, and that dates are according to the movement of sun and moon. So.
Do you know what time it is this year on the Gregorian
Navratri.
Calendar?
I can check. I can Google and check.
Does it usually come up
Navratri.
After...
Swati, when Navratri happens? I don't know. I was in India, actually. No, I don't know, actually, because I haven't been in India this year, like, at all.
Oh, wow.
For one month or something like that, so I don't know. So. Yeah, that I have to check. I'll Google and check.
What got you started? Were you like playing in bands before you were doing like sound design?
Yeah, like normal kids. I used to have a band, like punk bands.
Oh yeah.
Then after I moved to New York City, I started listening to like hip hop, house, which is very New York.
Yeah.
Especially at that time, like early 90s.
Yeah.
All these sampling music was very popular.
Yeah.
So yeah, then I get rid of my guitar and bought samplers and just stop messing around with it.
And what brought you to Bangkok?
That's very personal. I met this one Thai woman in New York City,
mm-hmm.
in a school, and we just get along with, so we come here together, then we got married, then we got divorced, but I'm still here, yeah.
Did you have any impression of Bangkok when you got here? Was there anything that really, like, you still remember?
Yeah, it was kind of very, I had a very stereotype of Thailand. Actually, I didn't know anything about Thailand, so I was imagining like elephants are still walking on the streets and the people are still dressing like tribe people.
Yeah.
Actually, when I get here, I was quite shocked that it's a huge city. But I had this impression that because I was in New York City and I used to walk around the Chinatown a lot. The Canal Street.
Yeah.
So, wow, this is huge Canal Street, you know? I mean, yeah, it was good surprise. And then for 6 months, I tried to dig all this like underground scene in Bangkok. Then I found out some. So I was like, okay, now I can live here because there's a scene. Even it was very small, but yeah.
Yeah, when you got here, were there, was the scene kind of concentrated around certain venues or something?
It was like very small rave scene with like techno music, drum and bass, and also the like indie rock scene would start growing up around that time, like 92, 93.
Mm-hmm.
All these like independent level start coming up.
Okay.
So I found, I saw very primitive. So it was quite exciting for me.
Were you going to particular venues a lot?
Yeah, there was at that time, Silom.
Yeah.
Soifor was very popular among all these like club people.
Mm-hmm.
The club was very small, but they play very good techno. Yeah.
Not like now, it's a little more commercial.
Right. That time, the scene, I mean, I don't know if I can call it as a scene, but the crowd was more like very primitive.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I don't have to talk about it, but the drug scene was huge at the mm-hmm. time. So yeah, there was no law that we had to close down at 2 a.m. or
yeah.
1 a.m. So it was very like freedom and everybody was been very crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Having a lot of fun.
Right.
So in terms of like Bangkok more generally, do you kind of hear or do you like listen to the city? Do you think about the soundscape, or are you mostly thinking about sound in terms of just your sound design and your music?
Do I listen? It come to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
Oh yeah.
Do I like it? Some sounds, yes, but mostly I don't, because it's very, unorganized.
Yeah.
Even the noise, the quality of noise in this city is quite harsh. So I don't want to say I don't like it, but most of the time I shut it down. Yeah.
Something that I find interesting in Apichatpong's movies is this, there's often this tension between like rural and city. Like, I think, I want to say it was in Tropical Malady. Like, it's like so much of the first part of that film happens like really rural area. And at one point, you know, he just kind of like goes back into the city and he's just immediately in like a big mall.
Yeah.
And just the harsh difference in sound. Mm-hmm. Is so like right in your face.
But I think you can feel that most of the Thai film, they doesn't sound like real Thai Bangkok City.
Yeah.
Because it kills everything. It kills the mood of the scene sometimes if this one motorcycle just go past. So I think all the like sound editor, first things they do is they clean all the noise and then put the fake noise on it. Yeah. So yeah, it's a sound of city, but it's not real sound of city, the one you can hear in the films.
It's a little bit too clean,
right? But I think it need to be to keep the mood of the film, some noises we can hear is really unnecessary.
Yeah, you have to, you kind of construct it.
Right.
Film sound design is is like super constructed to sound as if it's natural. Mm-hmm. It's kind of always that tension.
Yeah, and I think all the film director has like their ideal noises in their head, in their brain, so I think they create their own noises in the film, especially Abhi Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. What are some of the other directors that you've enjoyed working with?
I often work with other director called Peng Ek. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, JD was talking about him a little bit.
His film is more like suspense, more like a drama compared to the Abhi Chapman. But for the painting, I mostly do more like music score than sound design. So I don't really consider about noise or anything, but I'm more like music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is one of his films Nymph? Is that one?
Nymph is, right. And the latest one is called Samui Song, which will be shown from next month. Oh,
just gonna miss it.
Okay.
Maybe I can find it online or buy it somewhere. So what is like the what is a recent project that you've been working on?
We just done the music score for the Sami song. And also this Fever Room, been traveling around the TV commercial music is my like routine, my daily job, so I do almost like every day. Other than that, not much plan.
Yeah.
But I want to make my own music this year.
Let me give you some of the background. I think we have, I'm not really sure about the correct number, let's say, but the ratio is correct, definitely. We have the length of the street in Bangkok, in the perimeter of this Bangkok. Let's say if we have about 50 kilometers and in accumulation, okay. Oh no, not 50, 5,000 kilometers in accumulation. Then we have the accumulation of the canals for 2,500 kilometers as well.
Right.
So if we take the canal and put some of the canal in terms of to use that as special network, it can really help with the amount of the length we have about the street network, because it's, we really can't build anymore with the street.
No.
Yeah. So we can adding up. Yeah. So that's the way that we should look at. Majority of the people try to do that, but at the moment we have a problem with, in my view, we have a problem with this, what would be the type of the boat that we could use in the canal, because our canal is not straight.
Yeah.
It's really is, it's narrow, not straight, and it's
shallow,
yes. So we need to be very careful about the type of the boats. That's one thing. Or the other thing is that we have the problem with the regulation here. For example, if you own a land, from, in my words, from hell to heaven. Yeah. So you own the land underneath to the top.
Yeah.
So if you like to have some part of the land, let's say, for public use, somehow you really have to remove people out of the land, and it costs a lot of money. So the project, majority of this, the mass transit line, it's just built on the already existing road.
Yeah, either above it or
yes. So it means that you not really help with the network.
Yeah.
You just build on it. You just add. You just
increase the capacity.
Exactly.
But only there.
Yeah. But on the other hand, one of the papers I published with another colleague, we did this whole street network as well as the mass transit for the future and the canal. Mm-hmm. The canal can really help because it's already there, it exists before the street network, so it has its own sort of a network. It can really complement the street network, but you really have to select the canal carefully. Yes, hopefully if they do select this type of the canal, then we will have a better sort of mass transit network in general.
My house is right there, and we can buy booze if you want to.
Sure.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Just testing out everything.
शिल्पी की बोलते थे बोलने से मेरा सोहन के साथ ब्रेकअप हो गया, तुम लोग आई भी नहीं, मुझे दुख हुआ. Look, we make
someone else's lantern.
Art. It looks pretty from far though.
Yeah, that makes the castle theme.
And it's all temporary.
Yeah. That's also kind of nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, kind of like Rangoli as well, like, even more temporary.
Yeah. This has always been like the cruising spot for queer people.
Really?
Yeah.
Less nowadays.
Less nowadays because of gentrification.
What is the lake called?
Rabindra Sarovar. Rabindra Sarovar.
Is it named after someone?
Rabindranath Tagore, the poet. And Sarovar means lake.
Mm-hmm.
Rabindra Sarovar.
This is not Rabindra Sarovar, this is
Dhakuya
Lake.
Then this is Dhakuya.
Yeah. Oh, this is where you were?
The only shop is that side, across the road. There's another big picture.
This is the smaller one?
Yeah.
Oh, they took their spot.
Are we going for the music too?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. So far it seems pretty straight over here, but I guess that's more...
I'm seeing a lot of queer boys sitting with their girlfriends though.
Nice.
With their beards.
With their beards?
No, I did that. into chat. It's very pretty. I think after this we should just sit in the chat. It looks very pretty.
The terrace, it's much better.
It's cold and it's nice.
Can it go through?
No, it won't go through, but you have to. There's a way to do it. But I just can't recall.
Yeah, and a lot of the arguments, as you said, are often the easiest and successful arguments are ones of cost to society or to business.
Yeah.
And when it's so cheap to do work here, it falls on its face.
Yeah.
So you have to make a much harder argument, it seems like.
Yes, it's there's no real willingness to improve it yet. That's hard to fight, but okay. So where it starts on the top, the people who pay a lot of money for an apartment, a condo, or a 5-star hotel, etc., they are very critical about the noise.
Mm-hmm.
But the regular places, if you go Sukhumvit, I mean, it's like 80, 90, or 100 decibel. It's just daytime. It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible.
And it's a 24-hour city in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at this point, it's really those people who can drop lots and lots of money on an apartment to change anything about it. And then it trickles down. I mean,
Let's hope. The problem is still the Thai society. I think there's only very rich people and very poor people. There's no middle class. So it takes a long, 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 long time before there are some people, like laborers or people even working in office, they make like 15 or 20,000 baht per month. They rent a room for 4,000 or 5,000 baht. They're happy they can survive. It's more about surviving than having a good life. So noise is really one of the last important things for them.
Quality of life.
It's very, very low. Very, very low.
What are the main sources of noise in Bangkok as you see it?
Traffic noise, I think, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are legislations, for example, you cannot modify a car or a motorbike or anything. But if you listen on the street, like 10% or 20% of the cars, they don't have mufflers, or the motorbikes, they don't have mufflers. We have a monitoring station here on front of the office.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it cannot be more than 70. And at night, you have peaks like 100 or 110 decibel, just some bikes, heavy bikes without an exhaust, just passing by. And they don't care. That's the police doesn't care. Nobody cares.
You don't see the trains as a big source of noise. I mean, I guess they're elevated. So
the sky trains.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some people who live near to them. Yeah.
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 It is nice that at least culturally honking is not such a big.
Yes, that's one benefit from Thailand.
Cars in Delhi, Mumbai.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, something like that.
Yeah.
Do you see a role for kind of positive additions to the soundscape, like
artistic projects or people kind of being more engaging with the soundscape?
Yes, there are groups, but in Thailand it's very premature. Mm-hmm. Because I travel a lot, I'm a member of many good societies in Asia, like Hong Kong and Singapore, etc. And they are very, very much advanced in soundscaping, sound planning, and they really look at an area to make it happy to be there with the noise, etc., etc. And here, still far away, there are some small apartment projects that want to be different and take care. There are some groups of people who know that it's still quiet in some parks and then they want to protect that. Mm-hmm. But it's very niche still. There's no big movement going on yet.
One question that I often have about these noise mapping projects is that noise is often linked to volume, but of course there are good sounds that are loud and some annoying sounds that are relatively quiet.
Yeah.
Are you at the point in many of your contracts here of still kind of linking noise and pure loudness?
No, for here it's just the loudness. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no designation from this is good noise or bad noise or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's still far away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Hong Kong, yes, for sure.
In Hong Kong, how does it differ in Hong Kong?
They care. They know that 70 decibel for you, or depending on the sound source or where you hear it in the background, can be very different.
Yeah.
So they do the universities, especially universities there. They do a lot of studies to soundscaping and seeing what's happening. They had a what they did. They gave people mobile phones
mm-hmm.
with an app, and there were two things. One is the background was measured. The noise that you heard at that moment was measured, and then you had to give a figure like how nuisance was it. And then you found out indeed like some areas with 70 decibels were not nuisance because maybe it's a waterfall or it's something else, and other with lower levels with very low background level is very nuisance. So they're really doing a lot of investigations into that.